unrest. Maybe it's because more and more in America, we have tossed God out of our lives. And the more you toss God out of your life, the more unrest you're going to have, the more fitful you're going to be in your peace. There isn't going to be any peace. Why? Because there only is true peace as you have a relationship with the Lord. The problems today, worry and fear and fretting, and that can grow over and over as you just get up in the morning and you click on the news station, or maybe it's now with technology, you pick up your tablet or you pick up something, and man, all these emails are there, and you just start reading through a few of them, and man, you just circle into depression more and more as you read the articles. What's happening? Worry, fret, fear, they escalate. This chapter in Joshua helps us to understand that there are going to be walls that you're going to have to face. There's going to be Jerichos. There's going to be hard things. Rao Yoom just talked about it in his testimony, and he mentioned that even this past year in our church, we've had to face some walls. We've had to face some Jerichos. And is it possible, Lord? Do I got to sit and do I got to fear? Do I got to fret? Do I got to say, Lord, it's not possible. How am I supposed to face 2016? Well, luckily, we have the Bible. And in the Bible, God gives us Joshua, and he gives us Joshua chapter 6 to help us to understand when you're facing walls that seem impossible, there are some things that we can do, and there's four things in this passage that help us understand how to face, I think, 2016. Facing our fears. Setting up for us these walls that are around us. And I'm not saying that walls are bad. All right, in this passage, you got to take everything contextually. All right, and in Joshua chapter 6, this is an enemy that Joshua was told to go and attack, because the Bible does instruct us to have some walls. I don't know if you know that, but the Bible does tell us. The Bible tells us as a Christian that there's supposed to be a separation between myself and the world. The Bible tells us that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's very clear. The Bible tells us to guard our heart with all diligence. That's in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. So we're not saying that there shouldn't be some walls that you build. But what we're talking about is when the enemy has some walls and they place them up and God says, hey, go attack. And you say, wait a minute, Lord, how in the world am I going to do this? God, you just as Rod used that verse, Romans 8:28, God, you said all things work together for good. How is that possible here? It seems like an overbearing, an insurmountable job here to take down the walls of Jericho. In your life, you're going to have some walls of Jericho. You're going to have some enemies that you've got to go after. And some of them are enemies of flesh. Some of them are enemies that the devil has, and he's placed there. But God can give us victory. That's what the book of Joshua is there for. The book of Joshua is to give you hope and to give you encouragement that it is possible to have victory in the Christian walk. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're to ask you this morning, you deal with our hearts. Lord, you only can do that. Holy Spirit, we ask you do that. Lord, we also ask that your word will not return void. Lord, help it to be powerful. Lord, move us aside. Help us to see Christ this morning. Lord, as always, Lord, we ask for your power and we claim it. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, let's give you a little bit of background. We know this passage, Joshua. Remember, they were traveling through the wilderness for 40 years. And then Joshua sent some spies off. Remember that? We sing the song, little kids. How many were bad? Come on now. How many were bad? 10. 10 were bad. And what? 2 were good. All right, so we know we got that settled, right? Look at that. Sunday school helped us. So he sends the spies over. We know that there was a lady. What was the lady's name? Rahab. Rahab hid the two spies. And then she was promised, and we'll see it at the end of this passage, she was promised that because of her actions, her house would be saved. Okay? All she had to do was put out a scarlet cord, which is symbolic in some regards because I think that scarlet cord represents the scarlet cord that flows all through the Bible, Old and New Testament, and that's the blood of Christ. And by her claiming and clinging to that and hanging on to that, she was saved from destruction. So we know that story, but then God then instructs Joshua to start taking the country or the land of Canaan. Take it over. There is a lot of cities. There is a lot of kings that were there. And so Joshua is instructed, I want you to take over. And so here is the first city. And we're given four helps, I think, in facing some impossible walls. What's the first thing? Look at verses 1 through 5. It says, Jericho was straitly shut up. Now look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua. All right, in the passage before, look at verse 13. And it came to pass, look at chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. Behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, I like already Joshua. Don't you like his mentality here? I mean, this guy is pretty intense. He's already ready for battle. And he sees this guy, and he's kind of geared up. And he gets ready to pull out his sword and say, name what party you are, because I'm going to take your head off. Now, what he didn't know is that was actually what we call a Christophany. So that was God. Oops. All right, so he backs away a little bit. But we see, nay, look at verse 14, as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua, all of a sudden, was on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So what do we see, first of all, if I'm going to face some insurmountable walls? I need to encircle the walls with prayer. If you're going to face something hard this coming year, don't try it in your own flesh. Some of you tried that. This past year, last 2015, you were coming in December of 14, January of 2015, and you said, you know what? This is going to be the year that I conquer, and you name it. And last week, you've been reviewing, and guess what? You're still a failure in that area. You know why? You didn't encircle the wall with prayer. What you did is said, you know what, in my own strength, my own power, I'm going to do this. And you've been flopping all through the year because you haven't encircled the wall with prayer. Joshua understood that this was a hard thing to do. And so what did he go looking for? He's looking out there and all of a sudden he finds the captain of the host of the Lord. And when you get with the captain of the host of the Lord, you will be able to conquer your flesh. You'll be able to conquer that sin that is besetting you. You'll be able to conquer that flesh that says, come on. You know what? Just do what I want to do. You'll be able to put it under. But some of you, you have not been able to put it under. And man, your bitterness or maybe your immorality, maybe the drugs or the alcohol, you say, it's not possible. And I can tell you this, with yourself, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. You need to encircle it with prayer. In the Bible, you see this often. Remember Abraham's servant? Gehazi praying for a bride for Isaac in Genesis chapter 24. The Israelites in Exodus chapter 14 were praying to the Lord for deliverance as they came to the Red Sea. Hezekiah was facing the invasion of Assyria in 2 Kings 1. In Acts chapter 12, we see Peter And Peter is there in prison, and the church is off in houses, and they're praying and they're begging God, saying, please deliver Peter out of this prison. And guess what happened? In all those cases, God was there, and he delivered, and he met them. He met the needs. And if you as a Christian would learn, when you're facing an enemy, when you're facing an unsurmountable or an insurmountable wall, don't just rely on yourself. Don't just say, well, I can do it. In the Bible, you will not see such a thing as a self-made man. The self-made man is an American dream. The self-made man, and we don't have time to get off into character and work. I'm not talking about just being lazy. But some of you think, you know what, I can do this and I should be able to do that. That's just a bunch of baloney in America. Because you know what, as a Christian, I need to learn to do? I need to submit myself. Notice what Joshua did when he met the captain of the host of the Lord. He was on his face. And if you would humbly come before God and you would get on your face, you know what you'd find? That God would pick up the sword for you. And he would fight for your cause. But some of you, the reason you're in defeat, and the reason that some of you are squabbling there in defeat, and the devil has his foot on top of your neck, and he's screaming over top of you. Say, what happened to me? It's because in your arrogance, you chucked the word of God. In your arrogance, you said, I'll do it myself. In your arrogance, you said, I can do this. And in your arrogance, you're on your back, looking up in the face of the enemy as he laughs and scoffs at you. But when you come humbly, bowing down, and you realize that the captain of the host of the Lord wants to pick up the sword and battle for you. Can you imagine that? And you notice, I was looking at this morning, so I had to look it up. Look at verse 15. It says, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, notice and remember this, whenever you're reading the Bible, there's a reason the exact words are used. Look what it says, loose thy shoe. I remember when Moses was there and he found the burning bush. Remember what happened to Moses? It said, take off thy what? Shoes. Now, I noticed this morning. I was like, wait a minute. Now, I'm not getting this. So all of a sudden, Joshua's there and he pops off one shoe. Like, hey, you know what? I'm only half bowing, Lord. I'm only thinking you're half holy. So I had to look it up. Well, what does that mean? This is what I think it means. Remember Ruth and Boaz in the book of Ruth? Remember Ruth was supposed to sleep at the feet of Boaz because he was the kinsman redeemer. And if you read it, I think it's in Ruth 3 or 4, and you follow it up, and then you can go to the Old Testament law and Numbers or Deuteronomy, and it'll give you the specifics. But when a covenant was established between two people, the one person would take off his shoe. If you read in Ruth, you'll see that Boaz went to the kinsman redeemer and he said, I cannot pay. What he was supposed to do as a kinsman redeemer was take care of Ruth. And this kinsman redeemer said, I can't do it. And so Boaz said, give me thy shoe. Now that seems really odd to you and I. Okay, it really would. If someone came up to me and said, hey, you know what? We're going to settle this contract between you and I. You owe me $1,000. And I was like, yes, let's, you know what? Instead of shaking hands, give me your right shoe. Some of you are like, my right shoe? Like, yeah. Let me see them toes there. All right, but this was a practice set in Old Testament law. And what it did is established a covenant between them. Now, I think that that's what this was doing. I believe the captain of the host of the Lord said, take off your shoe. we're going to have a covenant. And you know what I'm going to do, Joshua? I'm going to covenant with you, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to clean clock. That's my version. I'm gonna beat some head. I'm gonna wipe them out. Because I'm captain of the host of the Lord, and you're submitting to me, and guess what I'll do? I'll fight for you. And I think that still happens today. I think that God wants us to surrender and humble ourselves and bow down before Him and say, God, you're almighty. I know I'm saved, but now, Lord, I'm going farther, and I want to have victory. And God says, take off your shoe. Bow down before me. And some of you, in your arrogance, you have a stiff neck to God. And you've stiff-necked back to God, and you wonder why you're a loser spiritually. You know why? Because you're sitting in the face of the captain of the host of the Lord, and He's there ready to battle for you. He's there ready to win. And you will not bow down to Him. And so you wallow in the muck and mire of your pit. And the devil stands on top and mocks you. Did you hear him? Oh yeah. All around. You can hear the devil. You can hear the roar of the lion. I can tell you this, if you encircle that wall with prayer, you'll have victory. We said there's four. You're hoping that the next three are shorter. So let's look at the second point. Look in verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. Let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram. And then we go on through verse 20. And what does Joshua do here? He acts in faith. God tells him what to do. And when God tells you what to do, it may not make sense all the time, but you must act in faith. You must act in faith. You know, don't sit there and proudly look and say, you know what? You know what, if God asked me to take down the walls of Jericho, I would thus go. Oh, baloney. Some of you act all pompous about it. Think about this. Joshua, go get the walls. Yes. I want it really quiet. Walk around. Day one. Day two, really quiet. Walk around again. Day three, you ready? Yes. Walk around again. Day four, are you ready? Yes. Shh, quiet. Walk around again. Day five, walk around again. Okay, Lord. You know, got my sword, sharpened it up. I'm ready. Day six. Shh, really quiet. Walk around again. Day seven. Now, you need to get up real early. How do I know that? As it says in verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day. Because this was the big day. Oh yeah. Now what do? Seven times. Walk around. Then the trumpets are going to blow. And then yell. All right, then what do? Pull out the swords. Bring it on! Battering rams! No. Day one. Really quiet. March around. Now, Lord, now I know some of you acting all pious there. I would do it. Now, we're going to get to you in just a minute. Okay? But think about this. Joshua was a warrior. He fought battles. Remember Amalek came? Yeah, it was Joshua. They tore him up. Joshua knew how to fight. None of the other, and he knew how to follow instructions because all the 10 other spies went in and Caleb and Joshua came back and the other 10 spies said, oh no, there's giants. Oh, there's big peoples. You know what Joshua said? Oh yeah. But the bigger they are, I think that's in the Hebrew. That's where we get it from. You never knew that. The bigger they are, yeah, the harder they fall. And then I'm going to stand on top and I'm going to cut their head off, hang it up there, but like, yeah! All right, Joshua's a warrior. So what do you do, Joshua? I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to battle. Here are the stinking Jericho people making fun of us. Oh, boy. Walk around. That doesn't sound like much of a battle plan. Those of you, I love reading war stories. I have never yet heard that war story. All right, maybe it's Guadalcanal, the beach of Normandy. Beach of Normandy, be really quiet. Now, they wanted to be really quiet, but then just swim around outside. And to just swim in the ocean and just kind of swim again. Now, what do you think they'd have done to the generals? All right, they already thought they were half-cracked. They were like, they're completely loony. But what did Joshua have to do? He had to learn to follow his captain in faith, right? Now let's get to you. Why can't you beat it? Why can't you beat that sin? God says, go to the book. Oh, but you've been to the therapist. I read this psychology book and it told me that I just gotta think good thoughts. You know what? You got stupid thoughts. That's what's in your head. Whole bunch of stupid thoughts. And until you get purified in the Word of God, you know what? You won't see victory. Act in faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, we've got to act. The instructions that Joshua received from the Lord concerning how Jericho was to be defeated was not a normal battle plan. It was not, hey, how much C4 charges are we going to put in there? None. I just want you. Okay. All right, so after we're not going to use C4. So do we have the Abram tanks? Oh, I know. You're having it really quiet because the drone planes are coming in. Nope. You're going to sit back and you're going to watch me defeat them. No. In some ways, that's kind of fun, isn't it? But you better have faith. Because some of you, in your life, you've been taking up the sword all too often. And man, there's a whole lot of weariness in your life. Because you will not follow the captain. So what do I have to do? I have to encircle the walls with prayer. I've got to encircle the walls with faith. But look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. Then I'm going to encircle the walls with praise. Because it's because of God. It's because of Christ. You know why you and I can experience salvation? It's not because you and I are such good people. It's because of Christ. It's because of His mercies that we're not consumed. Great is His faithfulness. See, the Bible is true. It's all Christ. It's all God. And at some point in your life, you need to bow down. And you need to understand that it's God. It's God. And we need to give Him the praise. and give Him the glory. And we come in here not to worship the singers, not to worship ourselves, not to worship the building. We come in to praise the Lord. That's what we should be doing. We praise. But then, look at this. He thought it would be really long, but it's not. So we encircle the walls with prayer, with faith, with praise. But look at lastly. Look at verse 20. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day. The seventh. Now, I just went through this passage in chapter 6. And what you'll find is 12 different times the word seven used. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't have to mean tons of things, but I think it's pretty specific for this place right here. And the reason is that there is numerology in the Bible. And on the seventh day, what did God do? He rested, right? Because everything was good. It was perfect. So seven normally in the Bible means completion or perfectness, following all the way through. So I believe what the Bible is telling us here when it used this term seven, and used it 12 times in about, used it 12 times in 16 verses. Maybe a point is there. What's the point? Follow God completely, all the way to the end. So what does that involve? You encircle it with prayer, with faith, and with praise, but with perseverance. Some of you, God wants to have victory, and He's given you the battle plan, but you stopped on the fourth day. Remember Naaman? Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, and he had leprosy. And remember, he was told by the prophet to go down and to dip, how many times? Seven times, and then he would be clean. Now, what if he dipped only four times or five times, or he dipped one time, and he said, you know what, that's it. The four times of dipping, it wouldn't have done any good. But seven times, perfect obedience. Perfect purpose, the perseverance. And some of you, the reason you're not seeing victory is God has given you the battle plan and you will not persevere to the end. You will not hang on. You only prayed for a month. You only prayed for 6 days. You said, why, God? Because you haven't completed. You haven't persevered completely. Why don't you get something in you? That is what you can have in yourself. In yourself, you can say, you know what, there's one thing I can do. We may not have all the same intelligence. We may not all have the same financial backing. We may not all have the same educational history. But there's one thing you and I can be on the same level, and that is you and I can both not quit. But some of you, this past year, you quit. You stopped coming to church. Remember, we were talking about it last week as far as finding God's will, and some people say, oh, it's so hard. Really? So did you pray about it this week? Well, did you go to the Bible? So already, guess what you are? A loser! Already you're a loser. You can't even follow the simple things. So get in the Bible. Pray like you should. And you know what you'll find? Complete obedience. That perfect perseverance. You know what you'll find? Is the walls will come down. This is what's amazing to me. When you study the historians, I think it was in 1970s, 1960s, there was a great debate about Jericho. In fact, some people said archaeologically that Jericho never existed. But then in the 1960s, 70s, there was a guy in 1950s that went over to Jerusalem that area, and he started digging around, and finally they found evidence that Jericho did exist. Now, in the 1970s, it was actually, I think, in U.S. News and World Report, they had a huge article that Jericho existed. The Bible is true. I didn't need that. Because you know what? There's a whole lot of things that the world says that is true, and it really isn't. And there's a whole lot of things that the world says is false, like drink all you want, and New Year's Eve, party all you want, bring in the New Year with Mr. Gaywad Cooper, and man, you'll be happy. I guarantee he's not happy. Ask him about his mama. He comes from a divorced and a horrible home. Ask him about his brother who committed suicide. Oh, well, I want your home. No, I don't. Why? Because they forsook the good book many years ago. And you follow this book, and you know what you'll find? When the enemy is there, when the walls are there, and it seems impossible. And the impossibility could be in the area of marriage. Impossibility in the area of family. Impossibility in someone you want to see saved. An impossibility of that flesh that just seems to take over. Here are these walls. Persevere. Keep at it. Don't quit. December 21st, 1943. This was an amazing story. Lieutenant Leon Crane was the co-pilot of a B-24 bomber. He was based at Ladd Field near Fairbanks, Alaska. His crew was doing testing over the Arctic when something in the tail of the aircraft snapped, jammed the elevators, that sent the plane into a tailspin. The crew bailed out, leaped into the frigid Arctic air. Lieutenant Crane landed in 2 feet of snow, cold and alone, with two packs of matches and a pocket knife. He'd lost his gloves during the escape from the airplane. It was winter in the Arctic. During the day, it was negative 30. At night, it was negative 60. Two boxes of matches and a knife. He's ready. Crane struggled up a creek for about 4 days to an open field. There he camped by himself for 8 days. And he was awaiting rescue there in that open field. It never came. He then headed back the way he came. Finally, he stumbled upon a cabin which provided food and it provided shelter. Outside, bone-chilling Arctic storms raged for a month and a half. He could not even get out of the cabin. On February 12th, when the storm finally passed, he built a sled and he started south. He pulled his sled out on a frozen creek. Partway through the creek, yep, it cracked. He went up to his armpits in the frozen water. His sled went under. He was able to dig himself out, dried his clothing. Then he made a backpack. He continued his journey, finally stumbling upon an inhabited cabin 84 days after he jumped out of the plane. He had traveled 120 miles from where he landed. But he still wasn't there. He and the man had to get back to civilization because the man was running out of supplies too. So 30 more miles it took to the nearest town. And Lieutenant Crane was then flown back to his base. 150 days. Ouch. Or 150 miles, sorry. 84 days just till he got to that cabin with another man there. Now, what drove him? He just wanted to live, didn't he? You know what drives me? I want to spiritually live. I want to spiritually live. And some of you, you're just hanging on. You just exist. And 2015 and 14 and 13 and 12 and 11 and 10, you just existed. I don't want your life. I don't want any part of it. Spiritually, I want victory. And God says, you can have it. The walls can come down. I'll do it. Encircle it with prayer. Encircle it with faith. Encircle it with praise. Encircle it with perseverance. And hang on. And the walls, I'll bring them down. Remember I said about the archaeology? In that newspaper, or that article, U.S. News and World Report, when they found Jericho, they say that there was two sets of walls. The one wall was 20 foot high, all right? That's about right below the chandeliers there, maybe a little less. 20 foot high, 6 foot thick. Then there was a second wall. And the second wall was back behind it. It's about the same height, but that wall was 15 feet thick. And they said when they discovered it, the walls had fallen outward. Guess who did it? God. Never doubt God. Persevere. And I close with this, but look what verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house. What in the world? What, Joshua? Who is that? Guess who that was? Rahab. And some of you sitting here, oh, man, you got a bad past. You had a rough life. It doesn't seem possible. But this is what I challenge you. You're sitting here unsaved this morning. It doesn't matter your past. Toss out the scarlet thread. And you know what you'll find? God will save you. God will save you. It doesn't matter. Here is a harlot. And this harlot says, you know what? I believe in this Jehovah. I believe in this God. And all the walls around fell down. And according to history, archaeology, more than likely, Rahab's house was on the wall. So as all the walls, boom, 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 what's that one wall standing up? Oh, hey guys, go get that harlot. It's Rahab. She believed in God. It doesn't matter your past. What it means or what you have to do is believe God. God is the factor. And He can change you. He can change you into something that can experience victory. You imagine her later on. I'm sure she was celebrating there. You know, you think back, and here are the tents. And I don't know what they would have killed. They would have killed a whole bunch of. They got lambs. They got cows. Man, they're having pig roast, cow roast, horse roast, cat roast. I mean, they're having all kinds of roast. I mean, they're all over the place. And Rahab shouldn't have been a part of it. But she was able to celebrate. Why? Because she trusted God. Isn't it sad that here was the chosen people of Israel, and here a harlot from the Canaan land had more faith than a lot of the people that wandered around in the wilderness and had to die. And some of you this morning, I'm speaking to Christians here this morning, and some of you as Christians facing 2016, you're going to face the end of, you're going to face the year like you did last year if you don't change some things. God wants the walls to come down. So encircle it. But not with your own strength. With prayer and faith and praise.